Good morning. I feel privileged to be part of the family, part of the body of Christ right here. Good morning to you. We sang a song, and one of the lines was, "There's an army rising up." Remember singing that? "There's an army rising up." And I got to thinking, who composes that army? Yeah, I was thinking the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're part of this army rising up. The believers are the army rising up because we're in a battle. And praise God that God gives us the strength that we need to be that army rising up. Well, we are continuing kind of on the theme of sanctification, this walk of the Christian as we walk along. And I'd like to lead us in a prayer, and then we'll jump right in. Our Father, I thank you that we sang about your love this morning, and we sang about your strength this morning, and we commit ourselves to you. We thank you, God, that you have faithfully drawn us, and we have responded in faith that you gave us, and Lord, we are on this journey now. And I pray, God, that we would all take these matters seriously regarding our walk with you. And Lord, I would just ask you that we know it's Christ in us who is living, and yet we have a complementary part. We have this walking part that we do to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. And so, Lord, even though it's hard to understand how it's all you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, it's no longer I who live, but Christ in me, and yet you have given us a will, and you have given us choice to walk along the way, and Scripture is filled with those kinds of statements. And so, God, we want to agree with you. And then, Lord, I pray that for many of us who have faced difficulties along the way, when stuff comes along and we might tend to walk away from our faith or walk away from our relationship with the Lord, God, that we would be one of those in the Scriptures who are called overcomers. For those who overcome, there is this gift of life. And so, Lord, help us to understand. Jay has already prayed, Lord, that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us. Thank you, Lord, that we have each other to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to walk with you. Speak to us, please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I say that I'm glad you're here, I am very glad that you're here. I love to see you. I love to see your faces. I love to see when you can be here. I'm always a little burdened for those who can't be here. And I wonder why. You know, are they on vacation? Are they sick? Are they playing hooky? And our job is just to pray and to love and to encourage. And, you know, have I discouraged them? Has somebody discouraged them? And with all of the flaws that can happen in our humanity and in the body of Christ, I just want to tell you, I need to be here. I need to come to church. I need to be with you. I need to sing the songs of praise and worship. I need the fellowship. I need to be challenged. And all of those things happen. They happen in my life and they happen in your life. And so I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad we walk together. Many years ago, Willie June and I were camp counselors at a place called Sierra Pines. Sierra Pines is up on Highway 50, just past Camp Sacramento. It's a Baptist camp, and it's the American Baptist camp, and we were there as counselors. And one afternoon, we had the privilege to take a hike with the kids, and just up beyond the camp is the entrance to Horsetail Falls. And some of you have climbed Horsetail Falls. Anybody climbed Horsetail Falls? Beautiful, beautiful hike. It's kind of dangerous, and we had about 30 kids, and Willie June and I and a few other leaders were, and the goal of this hike was to go up Horsetail Falls, hike through Desolation Valley, and then come down to Sierra Pines, where the camp was, for the rest of our week. And it was just an exquisite day, beautiful, beautiful summer day, just you know, it couldn't have gotten any better. And you start out as a group there at the base of Horsetail Falls, and we walked up to the top, and everybody safely got to the top. Those of you that hike know that it's kind of slippery along the way and sandy and so on. And we just had this ambling walk as we're coming down back to Sierra Pines. But it took a few hours. And, you know, when you've got a group of 30 kids and some adults, as time went on and kids like to skip and hop and throw rocks and climb trees, and it's kind of hard to keep them all together. And things were going along great. And then the afternoon wore on, and the line started getting big gaps in between it. And there were the fast hikers and the slow hikers, and the adults who were trying to stay back with the laggers, and those who were trying to keep up with those that are running on the trail. And we're making this hike, and it begins to get dusk. The sun begins to go down, and we're hoping we can find the trail that goes down to Sierra Pines, right? And everybody's spread out, and as leaders, we're hoping again, you know, somebody's got a hold of this kid and that kid. And then we find the trail. We're coming down to Sierra Pines, and we begin to arrive. You know, there's two or three kids come, and then two kids, and then a leader, and we're all entering into the camp area. And about a half hour after the last kid got in, we realized there was a kid missing, right? And so, you know, you start thinking, okay, what are we going to do? What's the plan? As darkness wore on and the trail was not very clear, someone got lost in the darkness. We found them. So that was good. Good news. Here's the deal. I don't want you or me to get lost in the darkness. I want the trail to be clear for us. The trail, right here, to be clear to us. I want us to stick to the trail, keep our eyes on the trail, not miss, you know, when the trail turns or when there's a Y in the road. Ephesians chapter 5, I'd like for you to turn there if you could. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says this. It's not on the screen, but it says this: "For you were once in darkness." Now that refers to the fact that you were once a non-believer. You were not in Christ. It says you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And so you come to the light, and you're walking in the light, and it says you are light in the Lord. Then there's this admonition, and the word walk is an admonition. It says walk as children of light, which gives you a choice. You can walk as a child of light when you're in the light, or you can, kind of like the children of Israel wanted to go back to Egypt, you know. You can long for the things of the darkness, and you can not walk in the light. And so you're saved, but now you're making decisions. It says, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And that's part of our journey, is that we're finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And sometimes we see that things in our lives are not acceptable to the Lord. And so we examine those and we think about those things. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And I think that's another point where we have to do some self-examination and say to ourselves, you know, what are we doing? Are we connecting with those who are walking in an unfruitful way? It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And by the way, it says, have no fellowship. So you just kind of consider that. But rather, expose those things. Expose them. Don't hide. Don't find yourself alone in the sense that you're trying to hide, because we know we can't hide from God, right? We might hide from people around us. So it says, stay away from unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, expose them, for it is shameful. This is as a believer on this journey, staying on the trail. It is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Okay? But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. There is nothing hidden from God, and God can see all things. And by the way, he's not trying to just check up on us. God wants us to walk in the light because the blessing is in the light. Now, that's something we have to believe. We have to believe that the blessing is in the light. And sometimes we are deceived that there's blessing in the darkness. But God says, walk in the light. It says, again, verse 13, all things that are exposed are manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, I love this phrase, wake up. He says, wake up, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And I love that. One time we were in a sermon, and people were kind of dozing off, and the pastor got to the, wake up, you know. And you who sleep, and that's the idea of wake up, you who are, you're kind of sleepwalking in your walk with Christ. Wake up and walk with God. He has blessing for you. He wants you to have the security that you can have when you're walking with him, and Christ will give you light. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That verse 15 is so significant. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Think of those kids on the trail as we hiked up Horsetail Falls. Walk circumspectly. Stay on the trail. There's a lot to see, but God wants us to stay on his trail and not get distracted and deceived to be taking another trail or, you know, just going off without him. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Can you understand that phrase? Redeeming the time, making good use of the time because the days are evil. You know, we don't have any clue what it's like to live in North Korea, but there are people hungry for the gospel in North Korea. There are people hungry for freedom. My chains are gone. I've been set free. People are hungry for that truth. And here we are, and it says, so however that happens, oh, by the way, good time for a commercial. Next Sunday, there is a wonderful brother. His name is David Andrusiak. Many of you have met him. David Andrusiak and his family have been ministering in Russia and Kazakhstan for years now. Starting churches. They are people, they're from the Ukraine. They lived in Citrus Heights. We got to know him. Brother Steve knows him. And he's coming here to share. He lives right smack dab in the middle of Muslim world in Kazakhstan, which is a country next to Russia. And he's from the town of, what is it called, Steve? Ufa. He's from the city of Ufa. A million people. Did you know there's a million people who live in Ufa? And their goal is to bring Christ to these people. He's going to be here and sharing next Sunday. Please don't miss it if you can help it by any means. So it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, friend, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And then it continues, and we're just going to stop there. So here's what I'd like to say to you. We need to be careful of the darkness. Don't get lost. In your walk with God, don't get lost. You're on a walk with God. Don't get lost. Don't get blinded by the darkness. It says, we were once in darkness, now we are in the light. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You know, and I just ask the question, are we dabbling in darkness, so to speak? You're not going to have any peace there when it comes to your walk with Christ, if you're dabbling in the darkness. You know, don't be deceived. The darkness does not hold blessing. It's in the light where the blessing of God is, walking with him in the light. So Paul challenges us to wake up and to look out, and we've gone through those scriptures. And then in Colossians, Paul says there's this issue of it's kind of a dangerous journey along the way. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And Paul is saying, I know the walk is dangerous. I know the trail is dangerous. I know there are dark places where you could get lost. and I will not cease to pray for you. By the way, I love our church prayer times when we pray for each other. And sometimes, you know, I think, wow, how's God going to balance all this time out for our worship service? But you know what? You're praying specifically for people. And recently, I found myself sitting with my eyes open during the prayer time, going over those prayer needs that are on the screen, because that's as many as we can think of, and there's probably more. But Paul says to the people in Colossae, I don't cease to pray for you and ask that you may be. And here's this list of things. He's saying to us, this is what you need for the journey. This is what you need for the hike, the Christian hike that we are on. You need to be filled with these kinds of things. And here's what it says, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. First of all, that's what we need. You get the knowledge of his will through the Word of God, and you get it through the Holy Spirit that is alive and well. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and guiding us, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. That's applying the truth. So you can know the truth and still walk in darkness. Applying wisdom is applying the truth to your life and heeding the wisdom that is in the Word of God. Filled, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding is such a key and vital concept. I can't understand why things happen to people at times. I don't know why our life unfolds the way it does. Sometimes we make dumb choices and we're led into consequences. Sometimes things happen and we just have no control over them. It's not because we've sinned. It's not because we've even walked in darkness. We're just facing stuff either in our own lives or other people's lives. And there is a spiritual understanding. God wants, Paul is praying for the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would give you spiritual understanding. And we need that, because otherwise we become hopeless or discouraged. And so we need to be filled with spiritual understanding so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. And there's no one on this planet that walks fully pleasing him, but the goal is that you may walk pleasing him, being fruitful. And this kind of ties together with the last 2 weeks as we've been talking in John 15, where it says, abide in me and I abide in you, that you may produce much fruit. And there's a list of fruit that the scriptures give. And Paul does in Galatians 5, he gives a list of the fruit of the Spirit. And so that you may be fruitful in every good work, increasing, and we spent some time on this last time, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience. Do we need patience in this walk? Patience to wait on him, patience to trust in him, patience with others who are on a different schedule than we are. Patience and long-suffering with joy. I like joy, but sometimes I don't have joy. Sometimes when I'm not focusing on these truthful things about God, I lose joy. It's not like Phil. He never wants to lose joy. His wife's name is Joy. But God wants us to be filled with his joy. And only when we're doing this stuff can we have his joy. You know, staying on the trail. We went over this verse last week, but I just absolutely adore it. 2 Peter 1:3, it says, because his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And there's 100 sermons in that verse. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, of God's nature. Amazing truth in that passage. So again in Colossians, I'm just going to say these comments. We must be concerned about our faith. Concerned in the sense of staying on the trail, not getting lost in darkness. You know, when we were walking with those kids, there was times where the trail was not clear. And sometimes our spiritual trail is not clear. But man, that's when we need to look back to the Lord, look back to the one who's guiding us on this trail. In Colossians chapter 2, there are these, what I call them, was God's encouragements from a distance. Chapter 2, verse 5, "For though I am absent in the flesh," by the way, this is Paul talking to the Christian people at Colossae. Paul's no longer with them, but he's concerned about them. He's no longer walking with them in their daily Christian walk. He's somewhere else. And he says, "Though I am absent from you in the flesh, I am with you in spirit." Maybe you have people that are praying for you who don't live around here. You know, it's one of the things I really was sad to lose when the last of our parents died, and my mom died in 2011, because I knew she prayed for me and my family every day. You know? And then I thought, what's to keep her to keep from praying for us now? She didn't forget us. Maybe her prayer is even more effective now. You know? But Paul says, "Yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Remember when Paul was writing to Titus and Timothy both, there's kind of a comment, how wonderful it was to see your children walking in the faith. Man, that's what we want for each other. We want the joy that comes as we observe each other walking in the faith. And you know, I just want to say that this church is filled with people who've been walking in the faith for a long time, through a lot of hardship, through present hardship. And you're not giving up. You're not throwing in the towel. You're still walking by faith. Does it mean it's easy? Never. Sometimes there's great times of joy, and then sometimes there's great times of sadness and burdens and groanings and so on. Says, "I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord." And by the way, that's a great thing. As you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, that's the turning point in our lives. When we receive Christ Jesus as Lord, when we take him in and we say, "God, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Please come into my life and be my Savior." That's the point at which you're saved. That's what Paul's talking about. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him." Walk in him. Walk continually is what that word means. Walk continually in him. And then he gives these beautiful words, rooted, built up in him, and established in your faith. Some of you right now are planting your garden. Some of you have had your garden in for 6 weeks, and I'm jealous of you because your garden's thriving. But I just planted some more seeds this week, and you know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping that those little seeds take root and get established. Have you ever planted a seed and it didn't get established? You know, and it grows up a little and then it wilts, or you forget to water it? You know, he says, God, Paul says, "I want you to be established." In the first part of that verse, he says, rooted, that you would be rooted. Years ago, do you remember Linda Donahue, Linda Butler, Linda Donahue? And she gave me a little tiny picture in my my office. It was a picture, and it showed both this beautiful big oak tree like we have around here, and then it showed under the ground all the roots. And it said, you know, "Those who have deep roots can endure the storms." You know, and Paul says to us, be rooted in your faith, deeply rooted in your faith. I'm surprised, not so much anymore, but when we first moved to the property where we live, there were these gigantic black oak trees, big, literally big trees. One New Year's Eve, we were at the house. We had a whole bunch of family there, and this huge black oak tree, we just heard this terrible crash outside, and this thing just fell over, you know, fully alive, and it just fell over. But when you looked at the root ball, there wasn't much there. You know, there wasn't much there. And I don't know if some of the roots had rotted off and whatever, but Paul says that you would be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So you have these big words. The other word is built up, and it has the idea, again, of being built up. You know, when you think of somebody who's a bodybuilder or somebody who's a runner, you know, Jamin's trying to make a runner out of me. And I'll just tell you, the first mile is always the most painful mile. Almost as painful as the second mile, you know, but it built up. You do find that as you run or as you work, you grow and you grow stronger. And, you know, it's really funny, but about the third mile, I'm going, I could do this for a while longer, you know. But, man, the first couple miles are just, right? Anybody, you runners, you know, you have to get to that place. Paul says, in our faith, on the trail, walking with God, as you therefore have received Christ as Lord, walk in him, rooted, built up, established in the faith, as you have been taught. And that's always what we've known about our faith, that we need to be doing these things, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay, so we have the admonition. Paul is boldly saying to us, take action in your faith walk. And I would just say, how are you building yourself up? How are you making your roots deep? How are you establishing yourself in your faith? You know, whether you're young or whether you're older, we need to establish ourselves in our faith. It is very, very disheartening for all of us, for any of us, when we see one of our loved ones or we see a friend or a family member who had some faith experience and then they walk away. They walk away from the Lord. Maybe they had some knowledge, and the scriptures say there are going to be a number who have knowledge, but then they forsake their faith and they walk away. I don't want you to be one of those. I don't want to be one of those. And so we pray diligently for those who have walked away, and we're going to love them back when they come back, and we pray they do come back. But we need to be deeply established. You know, I was talking with a person this morning, and they said they've just hit some really difficult things, and it's tough. Well, what we have to do is trust God. Earlier, when Paul said that we might be spiritually minded, it doesn't mean that we're going to understand everything, but we're going to trust God in it. So then, this sanctification process, we said this last time too, it's a little different, but the process of growing up in our faith, learning to trust God and walk with him while we live on this earth and before we get to heaven. So there is just a couple of verses in the book of Luke that I want to talk about as I kind of wrap this up. And I'm going to read a little paragraph that I wrote here because it just helps me to process through stuff. So this is Jesus' life with others models these qualities, these rooting and building up and establishing. And then also, if you remember back to 2 Peter chapter 1, where it says, add to your faith, be diligent to add to your faith virtue, right? To virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. As you live faithfully to establish those things in your life, you begin to have more strength on the trail. And it begins to be more of a regular habit in your life, virtue and knowledge and self-control and brotherly kindness and love and so on. I want to say to you that as we look at this little passage in Luke chapter 8, some of those things just show up as Jesus is talking with people. That's what I hope to be able to show you. So as we will see in Luke 8, Jesus enters the world scene in a time where people and conditions were in great need and there was little resource, not unlike the day we live in. People were sinful, sick, diseased, broken, and had social challenges, faced relationship issues, were under oppression, persecution, and fear from a variety of direction. Okay? That's just the scene, the time of the days and times that Jesus lived in. We see Jesus living out faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love as he lives and interacts with these people of different, various needs and condition. It is in these same kind of life hardships and needs where we walk by faith and not by sight, where we walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. It is here where we are challenged and learn to grow in our faith, deepening our godly character and growing in trusting God, in God-honoring attitudes. Okay? So hopefully you could track with me on that. So in so this next passage is from Luke chapter, actually, I think for time. Well, let me just say this. Walking with God leads, by faith leads to growth. It was interesting to me that Jesus, when he was growing up, we know that Jesus was who? He was God in the flesh. But we know from Scripture also that Jesus was fully God and fully what? Man. He was both fully God and fully man. And so even though he was the Son of God, we know from Philippians chapter 2 that he was made for a season, little less than the angels. And it says that he grew up and was tempted in all ways, like as we are, but without sin. So he knew, and he was in a process. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 2 about Jesus. It says, and when he was a young man, even Jesus learned to walk. Verse 49 in chapter 2, and he said to them, Jesus talking to his mother and father. Okay? Got a little mom and dad, son dialogue going on here. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statements which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. That's interesting. It's very important to be subject to your authorities, and Jesus recognized that. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And then the bold letters, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus was growing in his faith. He was God in the flesh. He was a man, a young man, and he was growing up, learning to apply the scriptures that he inspired, and learning to apply the scriptures to his life in wisdom. I'm just telling you, if Jesus had to grow up in his walking with God, so do we. That may seem confusing. He was still perfect and all those things, but it shows this process of him growing along. All right, now, so in Luke chapter 8, and every passage of Scripture that we read teaches us different things. So in this case, you know, first of all, a passage teaches us what Christians believe. Any passage you read can help you understand what we believe as a Christian. Okay? It's called doctrinal truth. Any passage tells you facts about the Trinity, something about God or the Holy Spirit or the Father in those passages of Scripture. Every Scripture teaches us ways to have wisdom, to apply the truth that we have been learning about, apply it to life. It gives us examples to follow. Often in the Gospels, it's watching what Jesus did. And then every passage gives us lessons to glean from, you know, how to respond in life and so on. Now, here's the Scripture. These three verses. It says, now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12, his disciples, were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided from him from their substance. Okay? So, you may be asking, why did I choose these verses to try to teach this stuff? It's because First of all, I was drawn to Luke chapter 8. I told you last week because there was a scene of Jesus in the boat in the end of the story, and Jesus was asleep in the storm and so on. And I wanted to teach this whole chapter of Luke chapter 8, but it would take till dinner time if I started. So I'm just choosing these three verses, and I like to point out a couple of simple things. So the scene is this. Jesus is going about his teaching with his disciples. They're preaching and they're teaching about the kingdom of God. The disciples are with him. And then there are these people that they came in contact with. In this case, he's speaking about these women that he came in contact with. One was filled with demonic influence. She is healed and now she's walking with Jesus, and she's now saved, freed from demonic influence. And these women are providing for Jesus and the disciples as they go along. And so it's like this group of disciples moving along, preaching the gospel, and they're caring for each other as a body. Okay? So let's skip the next verse because we've already talked about that. Skip that one. And then this one. So from that passage that I just read, those three verses, I just observed these things in those verses. Growing believers value. So here's what I'm suggesting, is that we are growing believers and we value these kind of things. And I want to point them out to us because they really are life. Okay? Growing believers value the preaching of the Word of God and His kingdom. Right? We value the Word of God. We know that it's where our salvation came from, and it's where our life, we're given the roadmap to follow the trail that God has given to us. We value, and I would say thank you for valuing the preaching of God's Word and His kingdom. It's why we exist, to share the good news with people in Somerset. It's why we're going to have VBS in a couple of weeks. Okay, number two. The gospel is always good tidings. It's good news for the world. The gospel is the message of God that God gave to us, and it is great news. Thirdly, believers value caring for, dealing with, and coming alongside broken, sinful, unwanted people. I just want to tell you, this one point really captures my heart. Christians value caring for, dealing with, coming alongside broken, sinful, unwanted people. And I am so glad of that. I just see a spirit of welcoming, a spirit of encouragement, a spirit of care from the people of Pioneer Bible Church. You know, God sent us to the sick. He didn't send us to the well. And we are the sick. And we minister to the sick and the broken and the needy. That's the message we have. There is hope in Christ. The fourth thing, the power of God in the face of demonic influence is always greater. So I just said that more like a statement. The power of God in the face of demonic influence, because greater is He, what? Finish it. That's right. Greater is He, God, that's in you than he that's in the world. And we see that in this passage of Scripture. The next one, Christians, believers, growing believers value the soul of a person rather than the body or the flesh tent. We value the soul of a person. It doesn't matter what color a person is. Doesn't matter what persuasion the person is. It doesn't matter where they've been. We see them as a person for whom Christ died. We are the body of Christ, the saved ones, and we value, and we see that in this passage. We see Jesus practicing virtue and knowledge and self-control and commitment to the mission. You know, this idea of Jesus being virtuous, being pure, being called to the mission. You know, Jesus could have done his own thing. He was a carpenter. Carpenters like to build things. Maybe he could have gotten caught up in a life of creating a life for himself. Well, of course, he was Jesus. He wasn't going to do that. But we struggle with that kind of stuff. And he was pure to the mission, and he reached out. And, you know, he was touching people who were diseased and who were sick and who were haughty, like Nicodemus and people like the rich young ruler and all these people. And I just want to say this passage teaches us that we value the soul of a person rather than being caught up in what they look like or where they've been or anything else. Growing believers also value trusting God with goods. Now this is, and let me just finish that. Earthly wealth does not determine the ability to give to God's work, to the ministry. God many times uses the poor and needy to provide for Jesus and his work. And I will tell you that I am amazed. I know that I'm a pastor here and you folks take care of my family. You pay me a salary to be a pastor, and I am humbled by that. But I also know that people struggle with careers and people struggle with having enough to meet their needs. And what we see in Scripture, and I'm included in this, is that God uses his people to provide for his ministry. And it's not just like, well, you know, they're wealthy so they can do the providing. God just never seemed to do it that way. He uses his people. Whatever we have, we give something. And God multiplies that, like the bread and the fish. You know, Andrew says, all we have, Lord, is five loaves and two fish among 5,000 men and their families. Jesus says, let's stop and pray. By the way, that's why we stop and pray. You know, God, do your multiplying. Do your work along the way. You know, God used his people in the idea of supporting the ministry. And then the last one, I just have the word believers. And our job is, and part of our walk is, deepening our roots. Believers, we value deepening our roots. We value building up, being built up in our faith as we live this daily challenging Christian life along the way. So I think my next slides would be part for another sermon sometime. Because in this little passage, there are all these doctrines that we believe. And I'd love to share them with you, but we're out of time. I would like to just ask us a few questions. We talked about walking in the light and walking in the darkness. And I just want to say, where do you walk? There's times where the darkness has overcome us. And so what we do is that is we recognize, God, I'm walking in the darkness. Deliver me. And you know how fast he delivers us? It's like that, you know. He delivers us that we can be walking in the light again. You know, we had all these words, you know, walk circumspectly. Are you deepening your roots in God? Are you building yourself up in your most holy faith? And then really the question that starts this all is, have you received Christ Jesus as Lord? Which is one of the questions he asked in here. So here's what we're going to do. Mike and the team, if you guys want to come. And again, you know what, guys? We're on a journey. It's like we're those kids walking on the trail from Horsetail Falls to Sierra Pines. And our job is to come alongside each other on the trail. To come alongside and pray and support and be there for each other. And so we are purposing to be more intentional about praying for each other. Now, we don't just have to pray here. You can pray in the parking lot with each other. You can pray in the hallway. You can call people on the phone and pray with each other. But we are here this morning. And I appreciate your prayer for me. And maybe you need prayer. Maybe you'd just like somebody to pray with you and say, God, I need your help for whatever reason. And I'm going to be up here. I'd love to pray with you. There'll be three or four others that are going to come during the singing of this song. We're here. Just come and sit on the front row or kneel at the stairs and just come and pray with one another. So we'll use the time as we sing to take care of that, okay? And I'm really proud and glad that you're here. God bless you. I'm glad we're walking this trail together. It's good. Together.
Jesus, we thank you for all that you do for us, Lord God. We just want to thank you and we praise you. We lift you up, Lord. Mm-hmm.
all that you've done, I will thank you for all that you're going to do. For all that you promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you. And I thank you. Loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you, Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. Thank you. All that you've done, I will thank you. All that you're going. I thank you, thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you, Jesus, I thank you.
God bless you all.